Hallelujah. God is a good God. Don't ever forget that. That's one of those things, you know, have a figurative string tied around your pinky. God is a good God. When there's stuff going around, what's this one for? Oh yeah, God's a good God. God is a good God, no matter what. Sometimes you just have to tell yourself that because the enemy is really quick when something goes wrong in this realm, and things will, at times, go wrong. Jesus said it. In this life, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have pressure. That's not from God. We just live in a fallen world. It's not perfect. But God said, there will be pressure, but he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And in those times, the enemy's real quick to say, it's God. This whole denomination's millions of people that believe all certain things have been sent from him. And so we have to believe, no, God's a good God. And we have to know the Word. The more we know the Word, the more we can deflect those type of accusations and say, oh, no, God's still on my side. He's still a good God. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to believe him and I'm going to expect good things. The last thing we need to do is separate from him. Everybody have a scripture sheet? Everybody have a Bible? There's Bibles and scripture sheets on the back table if you don't. Glory to God. Well, we've been in a series for some time. We've called Built Together. Just talking about our place in the body of Christ that God is building up. Jesus building up his church. He's the head of the church. And we all have a part, a vital part to play. Not something, well, I can go 15 different places. I can do whatever I want to do. There's a lot of the body of Christ that believes that way, and they're looking at it through, well, let's see what blesses me. That's what I want to do. Well, it's not so much like that in the body of Christ. If he is truly our king and truly our Lord, then we ought to say, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me? What's my place? And then whatever we hear him say, that's what we do. It's not really our decision. I know that's not popular with a lot of people because this is a very self-centered society now and it's crept into the church. It's all about me. I don't want to do it. I'm getting, you know, don't want this child? Well, I'll abort it. Don't want to be in this marriage? Well, I'm out. Not counting how it affects the other person. Amen? It just, you know, I don't like this thing? Well, I'm taking it back. It doesn't matter. Nothing wrong with taking some merchandise back. But I mean, people are just very self-centered in general. And so when we look at what the Word says and what it teaches us, it's much more like Paul over there says, it's much more like being in the army. Much more like you're a soldier. You don't get to choose your assignment. You don't get to choose which area. You take orders from God. Now, he's a good and benevolent and loving God. You know, some people go to the opposite extreme and just make it like he's hard. No, he's not hard, but he's not soft either. And he has a plan, and it's a perfect plan, and he has a will for our lives, and it's a perfect will. And it's exactly what we need. It'll bless us. It'll bless the people around us. Yeah. And so it's not about what we can figure out or what I can come up with, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's not about what we have for abilities either. Did you hear me? See, the world comes up with their plan based on your, you know, case study of what you're good at. You're taking one of those things I have in high school. I still have it. Took an inventory. Went through all, you know, the personality thing. And then they did all these tests and all these little exercises to see how I'm built. What am I good at? What am I not good at? And I got this report. I don't know. It was like a year ago. I was looking through some files. And there it is. Like I'm 17. Going to go to college. There it is. I'm, you know, got this percentage and this aptitude and this percentage. And based on that, this is what we think you'd be good at. X, Y, and Z, these different things. Now, I'm not knocking that, saying it's of no value. But that is not in its of itself enough for you to say, well, this is what I ought to do. That's what the natural person does. They say, I'm good at this, therefore here's my plan, and I'm going to go out and do this. I am going to go out and do this. Hear that? This is my will. I'm going to do it. Natural people do that. Now, I'm not saying there's not, you can take an inventory, find out your ability, but how you use that ability ought to have something to do with what God tells you. I've said this number of times, but it bears repeating in this context. We tell our children a lot of times in this, or people tell their children in this country, it's blessed, you have a lot of freedom. They say, you can do whatever you want to do. If you set your mind to it, you can do that. Well, that's not quite true. What we ought to say is, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I can do. Go to Him, find out. You ought to teach our children. You, first of all, you just go to God. You have a relationship with God, which is what we want to instill in them. You go ask Him what you're supposed to do. And when they know what they're supposed to do, now you hook up and say, I can do it. I can do that. If God told me I can do it, I can do it. That's where the belief and I can do, yes, that's a good thing, but it has to be based on Him and His ability. Not on, well, I think I can do that, I'm gifted here, so I'm doing that. No, no. You can look like, if you're just going by the natural, you can totally miss it. You can get in the wrong place because you're being led on what you can do, and that's not what God wants to do with you. And one thing I found out, and it bears up with the scriptures, we're going to look at a few things. God's not going to always put you where you're comfortable and what you think you're good at. He knows exactly what you really can do and where you're ultimately going to be good. He knows things. You say, well, I'm not good at such and such. Well, if He's telling you to do it, maybe you don't have the full information. If you think you're not good at something or you wouldn't be cut out, but He's telling you to do it, somebody's wrong. And it's probably not Him. There's no probably about it. It's not Him. So who does that leave? Well, say amen or oh me. If you can't say amen, so oh me, it's the same. Either way, so many times He'll have you do things that you don't believe you can do, but He's got a bigger plan. He knows things you don't know. And it takes you putting your will down. Not my will, but yours be done. Not what I want to do. Oh, but I really want to do this over here. I really think I'd be good at it. But God's saying this, got a decision to make. But I'm not that type of personality. So? Did God say it or not? That you gotta solidify that. Okay? Some people go off half-cocked. Well, I think God tell, and you've heard, I mean, if you've been around Christianity, the people will get funny ideas. And they'll think they're called to do something, and really they're not. And they're not gifted, but God didn't call them either. Okay, they'll go off and say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be the next Amy Grant. Amy Grant's pretty dated. But she used to be, you know, a big singer in Christian circles. I'm called to do that. Well, can you sing, honey? Hey, let's just go there. Can you sing? Yes, there's an anointing of God, and I'd rather hear somebody anointed by God than somebody that could sing any day. Okay? I'd rather somebody that can't sing really good, but they're anointed to do something, and they're anointed to where they could worship. It'll be 100 times. There's no comparison better than somebody that has a well-trained voice, but there's no spirit on it. Why? You could bring in anybody in the natural, somebody that lets profanity out of their mouth all the time and is godless, and put them up there. You're not going to be blessed by that, but they can sing. They can blow the doors off the room. No, it's not about that. But if God has truly called you to sing, then if you're not there yet, and I'm saying you may not be able to really sing. And that, you know, and He could have called you. I'm not saying you have no ability. I'm saying you're a diamond in the rough. It may take some work, but He's called you. Okay? How do you determine the difference between somebody that thinks they're called, can't sing, never will be able to sing, and they're just off, and somebody that has heard God, and they look like, nah, I don't know if they can really sing, but God has called them and is going to make them something. How do you tell the difference? Spirit of God. You have to know Him. You have to know Him. He's the one that's going to tell you, and that's what you have good people around you. Counsel is good and everything, too, when you're determining that, but ultimately, it's going to be on what God has called you to do and what He's speaking to your heart. But He's not always going to do it the way you think He should do it and give you this assignment that's like, yeah, that's what I wanted. I know I can do that. If He demands faith. And so there's going to be some things in the way you're going to walk out that you're going to look and say, really? You want me to do that? Okay, well, you have a choice to make. I can't see it. I can't feel it. So what am I going to walk on? Faith. And he will demand that of you. So I don't care what the walk is, he will demand that of you. Now, let's just read. I have several scriptures on here that we've gone over before. I don't want to take the time to turn to them, but just to set some context, you've heard many of these. Let's read them on your sheet. Ephesians 2, 19. This was kind of our foundation. It says, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Amen. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." We're being built together. He is doing something on this earth, all over the earth, every part of it. He's building his kingdom. He's building his body. He's got a place for each of us. Ephesians 2:22 says, "And you yourself," in the Williams translation, "and you yourselves in union with him, in fellowship with one another, are being built up into a dwelling for God through the Spirit." We read this one, Ephesians 4:16, the New Living Translation, "And he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." So he has a purpose. He's got a place for each of us that is going to be a blessing, not only to the individual, but for the whole body, those around you. Glory to God. I'll just say this real quick. It's going to be a blessing to you, and it's going to be a blessing to your family. So many people start saying, "Well, it sounds good, but it's a little bit twisted." They say, "Well, I got to watch out. I got to do this for my family. And if I went over there, I'm worried about my family. It wouldn't be taken care of. If I did this, I'm not sure." Well, question, did God tell you? Again, if God told you to do something, that is the safest place for your family. You think by your mind, "I should be over here," or "I don't want to do that because I don't know about my family." Let me tell you, I don't care where it is. It's in the middle of a terrorist, where there's a lot of terrorists in a nation or whatever. If God told you to be there, that is the safest place on earth for your family. And people will say, "Well, I just don't know. I want to watch out for my family." So does God. So we got to be careful about, God wants us to take care of our family. But everything's got to rest on him. And his will for our lives will never hurt our family. Ever. Ever. But when we exalt, we got to watch, exalting our relationship is as important as our husband-wife relationship, as important as our child relationship is. We got to watch putting it higher. You get, because there's people that go the opposite extreme. They say, just lay everything. Doesn't matter, you know. You're going to give up your family and whatever for the sake of the call, and they just neglect their family. That's wrong. Okay, but then there's other people that say, it's all about, I'm basically centered around me and my, you know, us four and no more. About us. Well, that's over here. God will tell us what we ought to do, and it will, if he tells you to go halfway across the world and start a work, and people, you know, if you say, "Well, I just don't know how my children are going to be taken care of. I don't know if they'll have fellowship." Well, don't you think God knows that? But you'll say it a little spiritual, like, "Well, I just don't know if, you know, my family will be taken care of." Well, question, is God in it or not? It doesn't matter if there's nobody, if he sends you to the North Pole. If it's him, they're going to be more blessed there than anywhere. Well, you could go into a church with 300 people your kid's age, and they will be no more blessed and worse off than if you were all by yourself, if that's where God told you to be. Amen? Amen. So we got to make sure that we're putting him first and not elevating other things. Anyway, it says, "As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing. Our families, our church, we ought to be blessed by whatever we're doing, and they ought to be blessed by what we're doing, and vice versa. Galatians, this is what we got into last week. Just review a couple of these scriptures before we go forward. Galatians 1:15, this is about, Paul's writing this. He says, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles." Now notice this, because we're going to get into some things here. Notice Paul. What did he say? God separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Equipping, grace is used in so many different ways in the New Testament, but it's a one use of it's an equipment, a spiritual endowment, an ability to do something. If you say somebody's graced you to do something, if God's graced you to do something, that means he's endowed you, equipped you to do it. You're able to do it. You're equipped in a way that somebody else isn't. That's why nobody can take your place. Did you hear me? People get caught up and think, well, this is my area. You know, if God gave it to you, nobody can take it. They can't do that job because you're equipped to do it. And if we'll just get that settled, then we don't have to be in competition, whatever. We just do what God's called us to do. He said he called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Notice that. That I might preach him among the Gentiles. Paul was called to preach to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it." So according to the grace that was given to me, that's how Paul's proceeding. Not his will or what he made up, according to the grace. Romans 12:5, we sat here for a while. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, according to the grace that's given to us," right? What has been given to us, that's how we're going to use it. It's not something that you earned, not something that you made up. God has graced each person to do something. Our job is to find out what that is. Our job is to work with him and say, "God, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go?" Because that's where I'm gonna fit. That's where I'm gonna be a blessing. That's where it's gonna work. Some people are trying, just think everything in the Word of God works independent of their obedience, and it does not. Did you hear me? It doesn't. You can't go where God did not tell you to go. If he's told you to go and do a specific thing and you decide, "I don't want to do that, I want to do this," but all the blessings of God are still going to be there. They won't. Yes, they're completely dependent on what Jesus did, but that is not independent from you being obedient. God says, "I have blessed you in Jesus now. Here's your assignment. Here's where the blessing is. Here's where the provision is. Here's where I've commanded my angels to provide. I've commanded my angels to be in this area, doing this for you, making a way for you. It's preordained. You have to walk in it and speak it out, and you give command to those angels that come in and you walk out that blessing. But if you're over here, because you said, 'I don't want to do that,' what's been commanded over here? Nothing. You can totally see this in the natural, right? Again, I'm not in the military. You don't have to be in the military to see some things. If there's a mission and if they've put resources in a certain area and said, "This is what the generals have decided to do, therefore we're on a mission over here and this is where all the supply chains are and over here," and you decide, "Don't want to do that today, I'm going to go over in this area," who's going to be there? There's not the chief did not, the heads did not command the supply over here. They commanded it over here. And people have taken grace and different things too far away. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm blessed. That's an extreme application. You take anything to an extreme in the Bible and you'll get into error. You get into error. No, thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. But it does not work independent of you doing what you know to do. And we're talking about what you know to do, not what you don't know. You're not responsible for what you don't know. But if He's told you to go over here and you say, don't want to do that, I want to do this, you are opening the door for the enemy to work, because you're rebelling. You're rebelling against Him. You're saying, I don't want to do that. How can you stand on His promises when you reject His word? How can you say, I'm not going to do that, but on the other hand, I'm healed and I have my needs met? How can you do that? His word, one is His word to you, one's His word that came through the written word of God. And you say, I'm going to stand on this. All my needs are met, but He's told you to be over here. But all my needs are met. You're barking up the wrong tree. It won't work. Hear me? It won't work. The best thing is just to line up with Him and say, God, what do You want me to do? You want me to do that? All right, I'm there. Oh, there's a clarity of conscience, clarity, boldness. You say, and I expect what You've said in Your word, it's coming to pass. I'm doing what I know to do. Now, I'm not saying you're resting on your works. I'm saying you just listen to Him and rest on His finished work. But He said, according to the grace given to you, you do whatever He's given you to do. Now, I want to get into some things. I want to talk about Paul for a second, because Paul was given a ministry to the Gentiles. Paul was a Jew. Paul was a well-trained Jew. He was trained in the law. He was trained up. We're looking at a few scriptures here. Let's just look at the next scripture there on your sheet. First of all, Romans 15, 15 says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you, because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Spirit. Let's turn over to Ephesians 3 in your Bible. Ephesians 3. Glory to God. We have to be careful about putting our own understanding, letting our own understanding get in the way of what God has called us to do. And you have to watch who you associate with or what comes out of other people's mouths, because if they're not discerning things in the Spirit, they may, spiritually, they'll just look in the natural and say, well, I don't see that. And if they're not dealing spiritually, they're dealing natural, they could lead you astray. Say, well, I don't see that on you. I don't see you have the ability. Well, it doesn't matter what you see. Did God say it? Because if we use our minds, we can mess stuff up. I'm not saying you shut your mind off. I'm saying if God's telling you to do one thing and your natural understanding tells you to do another, you go with God. Now, if they don't disagree, God didn't tell you, just He gave you a brain for a reason. So we don't shut it off. Some people do that. And don't use their common sense that God has given them when God's not telling them to do anything contrary. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you. Skip down to verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ Jesus, or Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. So Paul was called to the Gentiles. He was called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Let's turn over to Acts. Show you a couple things. We'll just see this. You see this over and over. Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 11, says, "So the Lord said to him," now so Paul, who was Saul, you know, he sees the light on the road to Damascus, is blinded, falls down on his knees, he's brought to Ananias. Verse 10, let's read verse 10 too, says, "Now there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" But notice, he's going to bear his name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now, he does preach to the Jewish people, the children of Israel, some. But his primary call, you see him mentioned over and over, is to the Gentiles. And he stands before kings eventually. Go over to Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 29. Now, we're talking about us and what God calls us to do and the grace that he's given us. And we're getting somewhere with Paul, but I just want you to notice his call is to the Gentiles. Acts 5, verse 29. It says, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while." Now, turn over to Acts 22. No, I'm making you turn to a lot of scriptures today, but that's okay. Acts 22, verse 1. Acts 22, verse 1, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, and brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today." He's speaking to Jewish people there. But notice, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, this man who was a respected teacher of the law. Paul was brought up. Paul was taught the law. He was taught by the very respected teachers of the law. And he goes into that a different place when he was, you know, talking about his qualification. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was zealous and all this. He was a zealous Jewish person, Pharisee. So much so, he persecuted the church. When he found out the truth, he was just as zealous for Jesus. But his calling was to the Gentiles. Now let's read another scripture, and we're getting somewhere. Let's turn over to Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 7. Galatians 2, verse 7 says, "But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, had been committed to me, and the gospel," this is Paul writing this, "and the gospel for the circumcised," the Jewish people, "was to Peter. For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised," or the Jewish people, "also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas," or Peter, "and John," who seemed to be pillars, "perceived the grace," the equipping, "that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles. And they," to the circumcised, or the Jewish people, "they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing I was also eager to do." Now, we know something about Peter. When Jesus called Peter, he's a fisherman. Evidently, he didn't have his language wasn't the best. He is rough around the edges. He's a fisherman. He hasn't been studying the law. He hasn't been brought up at the feet of one of the most respected teachers. He's just Peter. Says what he thinks, and probably before he thinks about it too much, he says it. He's just, he's a rough guy. He's the one that God sent to the Jewish people to speak to them, to the teachers of the law and the people, the Jewish. Peter, or Paul, the one that's been taught up his whole life, that knows he's been taught by the respected people. He's been taught the word. I mean, the law and everything that goes with it. He has credentials. God sends him to the people that don't know anything about any of those credentials or could care less. It doesn't carry any weight with him. All the things he knows about the law, they don't know the law. That's who God sent. God sends the one we would say, if anybody's qualified to talk about the fine points of the law, it's Paul. Right? And I'm not saying that went to waste. He wrote a lot of our New Testament. He knew the fine points of the law. It comes through in what he wrote. But my point is, I mean, Paul kept going back to the Jewish people. He loved them, but he wasn't called. And Peter doesn't know about all this stuff. God says, you're the one. You're going to speak to these people. Peter goes in there with his background. Now, if you're just talking about natural human reasoning and who you think should go one way and should go the other way, most people would say you have it backwards, right? One of the greatest examples that we have, Paul was a great man, and Peter, we both read, they wrote through the Holy Spirit the Holy Scriptures. Yet, it doesn't line up with natural reasoning. And what God tells you to do is going to take faith and not you relying on your natural ability and everything you think you ought to be doing. Period. You see it over and over in scriptures. Now, I'm not saying make a doctrine out of it to where if it looks anything like what you've done, it can't be God. Or if you're good at it at all. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you can't rely on that. The determining factor is, what did God tell you to do? Because he knows what you have inside and what you're capable of, not just naturally, but he knows what he's endowed you to do. And so if he's endowed you to do something, you need to be there. You need to be in that place. And to do that, a lot of times you're going to have to grow and you're going to have to change. Because what you think you ought to be doing and what you're comfortable doing is not the same thing as what he's telling you to do. And this is where you have a choice. Your will or his will. And your flesh will have to die. There are times. Your flesh is going to have to, it's going to say, I don't want to do that. No way, no how. I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel qualified. Qualified has nothing to do with it. Peter wasn't qualified to go preach to the Jewish people, if you want. He wasn't as quote-unquote qualified as Paul. But he said, you're my chosen vessel. And Paul, he didn't know all the customs necessarily of the Gentiles. He wasn't one of them. But God said, you're my chosen vessel. Amen. It comes down to what did God say, and then you submitting to that and doing what it takes. That's when you find out, okay, you told me to do that. See, this is a big difference between the way the world thinks. Because the world says, I'm going to get the training, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and I'm going to have my plan, 10, 20-year plan, I'm going to do this, I have ambition. Christianity says, you go to the head of the church and you find out what he wants you to do, and then you say, whether it's what you want to do or not, that's what I'm getting the training in, that's what I'm going after, and I can do that. But your flesh may not want to do that. This is the difference. You are a servant. We're his children, but we're also servants. We're also putting our flesh down saying, what you want me to do, I'm going to do. And I can do it. Bless God, I don't feel like I can do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'll get whatever I need and I will do it. And I will fulfill that call on my life because that's what matters in the end. It's not that I went and did something else. When we stand before Almighty God and we're on the other side, all the stuff that we thought we should do and was us and we added won't matter a hill of beans. But what he told us to do, he had a purpose. He had a plan. And he knows how it all fits together. We got to be careful about getting our eyes on the natural things. Let's read 1 Corinthians 1 on your sheet. We read that a few weeks ago. I just want to go over that on the back side there. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame, put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That you say, when you look back and he told you to do something and you know you felt, I can't do that, don't know how to do that, not qualified to do that, and then you do it in his strength and you look back and say, somebody says, wow, look what you've accomplished. That wasn't me, that was God. That was not me. I give all glory to him. That's what he's talking about. Give glory to him. Our lives ought to be glorifying him, not what we can accomplish, not what we can do. 1 Samuel 16, just going over a few scriptures here in closing. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. Talking about David, King David, because his brother, I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for the Lord looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know the story, have all the brothers lined up, David's not even there. Look at the oldest and best looking goes down the line. Is it this one? Nope. Don't you have any more sons? Oh, yeah, we got the one out. with sheep. Go get him. As soon as he saw him, he said, that's the one. Well, he doesn't look like it from the outside. Yeah, but he's the one. Why? God sees the heart. God calls based on what he says sees, not based on what man can see. Amen. Don't judge by the natural. Don't judge people you know or people, your fellow brothers and sisters in the church or even anybody you see on TV. Don't look at them in the natural. Well, why is he doing that? You don't know their background. You don't know where they came from. You don't know what God has to call, the call that he has on them. We ought to just center up and say, God, what is it you want me to do? And do that. And don't look in the natural either way. Couple, I don't want to shortchange you. I know we've gone through a lot of scriptures, but let's just look at these. In closing, you can take these home. Look at them there. But 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in infirmities that the power of Christ may come upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, just means weaknesses, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's saying, I'm sick of all this stuff that happens to me everywhere I go. They stone me, beat me, take it away, get rid of it. And God says, we're not redeemed from persecution. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. You're redeemed from sickness. You're not redeemed from persecution. It's another teaching. But Paul's saying, I don't want to do all this. And God says, you can do it. And my strength, you can do it. When you feel the weakest, when you feel like you can't do it, then you're the strongest. When you feel like you're not qualified, when you feel like there's no way, God, what did you have an off day? Why do you have me doing this? Didn't you see that there's other people more qualified, can do this better, look natural? David could have said that. That's when you say, yeah, I don't know, I don't see what I'm supposed to do here. I don't see how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to rely on you. Well, then you're weak in yourself, but you're strong in him. That's infinitely greater. Infinitely. You and God, you're a majority. Period. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just read Joel 3:10. This is a good thing to say when you're walking through this. It says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. What does that mean? But they're weak. But they're weak. But it says, let you say, I'm strong. This goes for healing. This goes for when you've been tasked with something you don't want to do. God tells you to do and you say, I feel so weak. But I feel so unqualified. That's a good time to say, I'm qualified in him. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong. But I don't feel, it doesn't matter what we feel like. No, I don't see it. Yeah, but if he told me he sees something I don't, so I might as well not judge my feelings because they're not a good meter. They can be lied to. They can be wrong. So God, I don't feel weak, but I feel weak. I don't feel strong, but I say I am strong. I say I can do this. That's what we teach our kids. You don't feel like you can do it, but you feel God told you to do it. That's when you say I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not what I feel strong in. I can do it through him. And he'll strengthen me. And he'll help me. And he'll get me through. Because I'm relying on his word. He told me to go to the other side. We're going to the other side. Don't matter how big the waves get. We're going. Yeah, but no buts. If he told me, then I'm going. Amen. If he told me, then I have what it takes. Even if I feel like I don't. It doesn't matter how I feel, I am strong in him. That's the place when I say, God, I don't see it, but I know you. Lord, I'm relying on you. Help me now. Strengthen me now. Comfort me now. Give me wisdom. Give me direction. Show me what I need to do, and I'll do it. And I'll make it through. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.